Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer, Arif Dean, for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports. Coming to you Monday, January 27th in the evening. And no, it is not as late as it was when I uploaded and recorded that Friday episode. I think I started recording that one at 11:51 p.m. after just a whirlwind 5-hour stretch following the crazy, out-of-nowhere, out-of-the-blue Mikko Rantanen trade. The Avalanche have since played two games. Mikko Rantanen has played one in Carolina. We've heard from Mikko in multiple different areas, in multiple different publications, I should say. He spoke to a Finnish paper. He spoke to Corey Massasak at the Denver Post. Our old friend Peter Baugh caught up with him on Long Island where the on Long Island where the Hurricanes played a couple days ago, and on Tuesday they'll be at Madison Square Garden. Flip-flop the opposite of the Avalanche, who are going from New York Rangers to New York Islanders. It just so happened to be a coincidence that Carolina's going the other way around. So tomorrow the Avalanche will play on Long Island where Mikko just played, and Mikko will play at Madison Square Garden where the Avalanche just played. Oh, and by the way, it's been a minute into this recording, and I didn't even mention the insanely entertaining ending to that game against the New York Rangers, where we saw Cale Makar and Arturi Lehkonen combine for a magnificent game-winning goal with Cale Makar coming out of the box with 15 seconds remaining. Marty Nichols having just an incredible second game after kind of struggling a little bit in the first one. Jack Drury scoring a goal. A lot's gone on. So I'm going to try to do as much as I can and get into as much as these topics that I've just gone through here in as little time as possible, so I'm not sitting here blabbing for 45 to 50 minutes. You know, back in the days when JJ Jerez was part of this podcast, 45 to 50 minutes to an hour was the norm. But single-person podcasts, as if you've been a long-time listener of this show and you saw the show kind of fall off last year in terms of number of episodes, this is precisely why. Like, it took a long time to adjust to being one dude blabbing for 30, 40 minutes. It sounds easy, but it's actually kind of different. It's hard. So on that note, let's get into everything. I'm going to start with the Mikko Rantanen Finnish paper and just kind of get into everything that kind of happened. Move it on from there, and I wish I was prepared. I'm trying to pull up that Finnish paper. Here it is. Mikko Rantanen spoke to a Finnish outlet. Now, there's a couple things to keep in mind, and I mean, ultimately, he said similar things to Peter Baugh at The Athletic, but there's a couple things to keep in mind when it comes to a European athlete speaking to an outlet in a different language, is that, number one, two things could be true. They are a lot more open and honest. They say a lot more in their native tongue. And number two, the translation sometimes doesn't translate as well as it would otherwise. So basically, here's the gist of what he told the Finnish paper. We'll get into the article with Peter Baugh and we'll go from there. In the Finnish paper, Mikko Rantanen did not mince words when speaking Saturday evening about the Colorado Avalanche management's decision. He said, quote, "I played in Colorado for almost 10 years and gave a lot to the organization. We even won a championship. That's why this trade came as such a surprise," Rantanen said in a locker room wearing a Carolina Hurricane. Rantanen had no clue that Colorado was planning to trade him. He said, quote, "The trade was a huge shock to me. I didn't see it coming at all. For the first time, I realized just how brutal the business side of the NHL can be." He believed until the very end that an extension would happen. He revealed that he was willing to make concessions to stay with the Avalanche, where he had enjoyed playing. Quote, "The lines of communication about a contract extension were open with the team. I was ready to take less than my market value to stay. We even had discussions about the contract recently." Another one, quote, "I don't think that's true. This is in regards to his salary demands being too high. I don't think that's true. I don't want to go into exact numbers, but I was willing to come down quite a bit from my market value. That's why the trade came as such a shock." Speculation about Rantanen being traded began to circulate during the fall when no extension was signed. Despite that, the Finnish star remained optimistic. Quote, "To be honest, I didn't believe I'd be traded. I was confident an extension would happen at some point, but they decided otherwise. The lines of communication with the team were never completely shut, although we were not talking every day. He also said he hadn't fully processed what had happened. Quote, this happened so fast, I didn't get much sleep, and today I had to focus on getting ready for the game. Maybe it'll hit me harder once I have time to reflect. Ultimately, the quotes here are pretty telling about how the Avalanche went about their business in regards to communications with the agent of Mikko Rantanen and then with the Carolina Hurricanes. And let's get into Peter Baugh's article, and I'm not going to read Peter Baugh's article verbatim because it is obviously behind the paywall at The Athletic, and I don't want to do that. But I am going to read some of his quotes. He said, yesterday was a day off, a lot of thoughts going through the head. I think it's settled in now. It's still early, so maybe it's going to settle in even more here in the next couple of weeks. Peter Baugh went on to explain that Friday evening, Rantanen was in his Boston hotel, assuming he'd suit up for the Avalanche to play the Bruins the next day at 1 p.m. Then he got a call from general manager Chris McFarland, who asked him to come to his room. Mikko said, I had a sniff that something might be happening, but I only had a sniff because he called me, not before that. I had no idea. It's surprising. So ultimately what the Avalanche did, what Peter Baugh goes on to write, is Chris McFarland and Jared Bednar were hanging out in the hotel room of Chris McFarland in the hotel in Boston. And you got to remember, it's a Friday, what was it? Friday around 8:30, 8:40 p.m. Eastern time, and I go by Eastern time because that's where the Avs were. They were on the East Coast on a Friday night, is when the first tweet came out from Frank Saravalli that this was happening and the process of happening. So it's not ultimately that late, 8:40 p.m., but you got to remember the Avalanche are playing a 1 p.m. game. So the players that would be out hanging out later into the night, you know, planning for a morning skate at 10:30 a.m., we're not planning for a morning skate. Pretty much everybody was in their hotels, I would assume, because it was a 1 p.m. game. So McFarland and Jared Bednar were in the bedroom, in the hotel room, waiting for Mikko. When Mikko got there, they all talked for 10, 15 minutes. Mikko didn't go into specifics about the conversation, but he left that meeting after 10, 15 minutes, knowing he was off to Carolina in return for that package of Necas, Drury, and a couple of draft picks. Another quote, he said, I was ready to take a significant discount from my market value. We had some chats a couple days before, and then they traded me. That's what happened. That's why I didn't expect it. He went on to say that he talked to Nathan MacKinnon for a solid 15, 20 minutes. That was something MacKinnon also said. He texted with Cale Makar. He talked to a couple of other guys. He saw them in the hotel, so on and so forth. And he's going to call some other guys along the way. He said, now, in regards to the 8-year extension possibility and the fact that the Hurricanes are looking to re-sign him, he said, I think some talks will happen. Everything happened so quickly. It's only been 2 or 3 days after. We already played one game, and now we have another one tomorrow. I haven't even had time to think about that. So this is obviously reiterating the fact that no contract extension talks happened with the Carolina Hurricanes. The Avalanche did not give any team permission to speak to Mikko. So the Carolina Hurricanes traded two valuable cost-controlled assets, one for another season and one for another season and beyond because he's an RFA, in Marty Natchez and Jack Drury, as well as a couple of draft picks for a big-name rental that they are not even sure they can re-sign. This is similar to Jake Guentzel, but obviously they gave up a lot more because it's not Jake Guentzel. It's Mikko Rantanen. He looked back at his time, very thankful for everybody, the fans, the city, so on and so forth. Go to theathletic.com. Catch this article. It's obviously Peter Baugh, our old friend, who works and covers the New York Rangers, New York Islanders, New Jersey Devil, that entire metropolitan area. So it just so happened, coincidentally, that this trade broke just as both teams were going through New York and Long Island, and Peter Baugh was there to kind of unravel and see it all unfold. So shout out to him for this article. It was published on Monday sometime in the early afternoon. So here is, after all of that, what I have to say about everything. ColoradoHockeyNow.com, go check it out. You'll see that I wrote a notebook this morning. Did Mikko Rantanen force Chris McFarland's hand? And when I say Mikko Rantanen, I mean Mikko Rantanen's agent. I don't mean Mikko Rantanen himself. The representation of Mikko, the Moose Rantanen. And here's ultimately where we are. Here's ultimately what I've gathered. Andy Scott, the agent who got Leon Draisaitl a $14 million contract, was pretty firm on getting Mikko that much money. Now, when Mikko says that he's willing to take less than market value, it's a very specific phrase he uses there, market value. Market value is not what a team would have offered you, like the team that you are playing for, the Avalanche. Market value is what you would get on the open market. Nathan MacKinnon signing at $12.6 million was below market value, because if Nathan MacKinnon went to the market, he would have gotten, at the time when the salary cap was still $82.5 million, not $88 pending $92.5 or $97. At $82.5 million, Nathan MacKinnon got $12.6 million. If he went to the market 13 months after the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup, or more specifically, 12 months and 5 days after the Avs won the Stanley Cup, he probably would get 14 plus at that time when the salary cap was not what it's going to be, when Leon Draisaitl's contract and Mikko Rantanen's new extension kick in next season at 92.5 or 97 million. So below market value is a very specific phrase, because when he says, I was willing to make concessions and willing to take below market value, are you going based off of a $14 million market value, 14 and a half, and you were willing to take 13, 13 and a half, 12.75? So that's what I hear when I see Mikko Rantanen's side. The Avalanche's side is exactly what we've been talking about all along and what I spoke about on Friday. They did not want Mikko Rantanen to be paid more than Nathan MacKinnon. Not that it's an internal cap. I've seen a lot of comments on ColoradoHockeyNow.com talking about how the Avs cannot do an internal cap and this make-believe cap. That's not the point. That's not the case here. The reality is, Mikko Rantanen, I talked about this the other day, is the third best player on the Avalanche. Had the Edmonton Oilers had a defenseman of Cale Makar's stature, I don't know, Quinn Hughes or something, someone who had just signed or is up for a contract in a year or two, like Quinn Hughes, who you know is going to make $14, $15 million, and you're about to pay Connor McDavid, I don't think the Oilers, with ease, would have given Leon Draisaitl what they gave him in September. Unfortunately for Mikko Rantanen, and I said this last show, he is a top 7, 8, 9, 10 talent in the NHL. He's the third best player on the Avalanche. So it's not about an internal cap of 12.6 for Nathan MacKinnon. It's more about the fact that paying him 13, 13 and a quarter, even 12, because reportedly the Avalanche's best offer was 11.75, which makes him the highest paid winger in the NHL, but not center. If Mikko Rantanen gets paid 12 even, or 12 and a half below Nathan MacKinnon's, and then you give Nathan, and then you have Nathan at 12.6, and then Cale Makar gets, let's throw a random number out there, 15 and a quarter. So you got 15.25. Let's do this hypothetical where Mikko gets 12.5 and Nathan MacKinnon gets 12.6. That's $40 million. So even when the cap reaches $100 million, you would have three players eating up 40% of your salary cap. That's not okay. You cannot build a team like that. And I know the difference is a $750,000 and whatever and so on and so forth. But you know, we saw this with Toronto. Every one player's contract raises everybody else's. If Mikko gets 14, well, now Cale Makar, if he was going to sign for 15, now he's going to sign for 16 or 17. Because if nobody's taken a pay cut, why am I taking a pay cut? Obviously, Nathan MacKinnon, quote unquote, already has taken a pay cut because he's well below market value. But that's ultimately the way to look at this, is the Avalanche trying to build a roster. They had to hold firm with somebody, unfortunately, for Mikko Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen is worth it. This is by no means, and I'm sick and tired of reading the comments where everybody's calling Mikko Rantanen a bullshit player, overrated, empty net, this, that. And I'm just like, Avalanche fans got to chill. Like, you're saying this because he's gone. So you're trying to convince yourself that he's all of these things, but he's not. He's a hell of a player, but unfortunately, that doesn't change the fact that he is the third best player on this team. This season, Nathan MacKinnon at 12 sticks, Mikko Rantanen at 925 and Cale Makar at 9 million. Let me say this, actually. Last season, when the Avalanche made all the moves at the deadline, they brought in Casey Mittelstadt and all that, and they went into the playoffs. Tough season. We all saw it unfold. You know, Ryan Johansson, that whole experiment, so on and so forth. Mikko, Nate, and Cale were making a combined roughly almost $31 million. The salary cap last season was $83.5 million. Those three players, you saw how hard it was to fill out a roster around them. Those three players were eating up 36.9% of your cap. So yes, the cap is rising. But if you pay Mikko 14, for example, or let's say 13.5 because he's willing to take below market, and you got Nathan MacKinnon at 12.6, just having those two and then throwing in Cale Makar, who has only got one more year left on his contract, or two more years after this before he's up, just having those two players making that amount of money, plus Cale Makar at only $9 million before his pay raise, it's already 38% of your cap for next season. So even with the rising cap, it's been tough already. Chris McFarland said the team is not deep enough. It was already tough to fill out a roster around them where they were eating up 35% of the cap. Before Cale Makar's extension and the cap rises in that sense, it was already at 38%. Now let's do a hypothetical scenario in a couple seasons and say the cap reaches 102. It goes from 97 to 102 or 92.5 to 102, depending on how they decide to smooth it out. Or sorry, 105. I'm going to go to the season beyond, and I'm going to pretend Cale Makar gets 15.25. That was the number we came on. 15.25 for Cale Makar. 13.25 for Mikko Rantanen. And again, I'm dumbing it down just a little bit. 12.6 for Nathan MacKinnon. Divide that into 105 million. That is still 39% of the cap. So yes, the cap is rising. Yes, year over year is rising. But do you expect the Avalanche, Nathan MacKinnon is going to be 30 in September, to wait three more seasons before they can say we are in a better cap situation now than we were in 2023 and in 2024 when it was already hard with three players making up 35% of the cap? That's the reality of this situation. Now, in terms of how this unfolded, I give great kudos to the Colorado Avalanche for holding this tight to the vest. Like, nobody knew this was coming. Mikko had zero idea this was happening. You talk to Taylor Hall. Taylor said, I knew for 2 days that I was going to the Carolina Hurricanes. You talk to Kyle Davidson, the general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks. Kyle knew that Carolina needed him to eat salary off a different player, not Taylor Hall, and they wouldn't even tell him who it was. This was kept close to the vest. Nobody had any idea. So kudos to two things. Kudos to the Carolina Hurricanes for making a gamble like this, and for Eric Tulsky, a first-year general manager, for making his mark, getting a player of this stature, giving up quite a big haul for a player who's not signed. And kudos to him for keeping it tight to the vest and close to the vest. But kudos to Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic and the Avalanche's staff, as rude as this sounds, for completely blindsiding Mikko Rantanen. The reason why they get kudos for that is simply because the Avalanche and this agent went back and forth for months. And I'm willing to speculate and say that Andy Scott overplayed his hand. And why wouldn't he? The Avalanche aren't going to trade Mikko Rantanen at 28 years old. Hell no, that's bullshit. They would never do that. So I'm going to play hardball, and I'm going to get my money. Gabe Landeskog played hardball. He got $7 million at the time. That was pretty good for him. Mikko Rantanen, my client that I represented in 2019, I played hardball with him and got 9.25 at the time. So I'm going to play hardball, and I'm going to get him paid. The Avalanche aren't going to trade Mikko. Also, who's going to trade for Mikko that the Avalanche would be willing to listen on a package. There's this really interesting statistic that I read. This is the first trade this late in the season since 1991 between two players averaging a point per game or better. And on top of that, it's two Stanley Cup contenders in the Hurricanes and the Avalanche. Yes, the Avalanche are lower in the standings than they should be and than they want to be, but they're still a Stanley Cup contender. So, the way that I see it, Andy Scott overplayed his hand. Andy Scott thought, there's absolutely no way they trade Mikko Rantanen. Andy Scott thought, there's absolutely nothing anybody can offer. Like, you saw what the package was for Jake Guentzel. You're not getting, you know, you got Michael Bunting, yes, but you're not getting a name like Marty Natchez. Who's willing to trade a player like that? There is no way another contender is willing to do that. There is no way the Avalanche are going to make that deal in the middle of the season. Because they didn't trade him at the draft, they are basically saying, we're going to go all the way into the summer, you know, past the season, into next summer, I should say. And they're going to pay Mikko what I say they want. They're going to pay him. So I think Andy Scott overplayed his hand. I think if you're Mikko Rantanen, you know, so there's a story that I got from a source, and I don't want to disclose who it was, but it's ultimately confirmed that this happened. If you guys remember the Gabe Landeskog thing in 2021, and I don't know if this has been publicly written about, but it's a story that I've heard, and I never wrote about it because it was an off-the-record thing that I had talked with somebody about. In 2021, you guys remember Gabe Landeskog signing, because the way the NHL free agency works, and I know it wasn't July 1st because it was a COVID year where everything was pushed back, but for example, July 1st is the start of free agency. July 1st at 12 p.m. noon Eastern time is when you can start to talk to free agents. However, July 1st midnight Eastern time, so basically 11:59 p.m. the next minute, boom, July 1st, 12 a.m., the first second of July 1st, that is the deadline for a player signing 8 years. So there's a 12-hour window where UFAs can only still talk to one team, but they can no longer sign 8 years. Gabriel Landeskog signed, I think it was 3 minutes before the deadline to get 8 years. It went right down to the wire. The story that I had talked to somebody off the record about was sometime in that January 28, 29, 30 range, when those contract extension talks were getting intense between Gabriel Landeskog's representation and agent Peter Wallin and the Colorado Avalanche, Joe Sakic was the GM at the time. Gabe Landeskog picked up his phone, didn't call his agent. And this doesn't usually happen, especially this late into a negotiation. Gabe Landeskog picked up his phone, called Joe Sakic and said, I don't want to leave, I want to stay. And he and Joe talked, the agent was looped in, they came to terms on a contract, they got it done. If I'm Mikko Rantanen, and I'm as... God, he's heartbroken. It's so sad, not just to see the reaction of the fan base and just losing an aura like Mikko Rantanen. It's so sad to see how Mikko has taken this. He's distraught, dejected, heartbroken. Like, he did not, for the life of him, see this coming. You know, Nathan MacKinnon said it. Jared Bednar said it. Mikko Rantanen was thinking the same thing. It's going to be like Gabe Landeskog. It's going to go down to the wire. We're going to re-sign and we're good to go. That wasn't the case. If I'm Mikko, I'm calling my agent. I mean, your agent's going to get you a lot of money and paid. But I'm calling my agent and I'm going, what the fuck happened here? Did they threaten this and you called their bluff? Because you didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. Yes, his name was out there. Yes. And I keep seeing the comments on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. By the way, thank you all so much for all the discussion over these last 3 days on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. I am very much enjoying reading all the comments because we are all diehard crazy hockey fanatics and it's so fun to kind of experience something like this together. Granted, this is a huge, huge sad move, you know, on the surface. I keep seeing the, how is he blindsided? This isn't a surprise. This has been rumored. Yes, but there's a difference between rumored. Like, Sidney Crosby's been rumored for 3 years getting traded out of Pittsburgh. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a surprise if it actually happens. So, for the Avalanche to actually trade Mikko, I'm calling my agent. I'm going, what just happened? What was going on? Did they give you a deadline? Because as far as I'm concerned, I should have been re-signed. This wasn't a situation like Gabe Landeskog where he was able to get up, pick up the phone and call. This was a different situation, and I genuinely, in the heart of hearts, believe Andy Scott overplayed his hand. That's the reality. So that's the Mikko Rantanen talk for today. God, it's still, you know, it hasn't really sunk in for me because I'm not on this road trip, but I think it's going to be tough. Like, okay, so if you're a WWE fan out there, Mikko Rantanen has an aura to him. I know a couple of you listeners are big wrestling fans. I used to be a big wrestling guy. Mikko Rantanen's got an aura to him. He's got an aura when he walks around like he's The Rock. You know, he's got that aura. Trading that and removing that from a locker room in itself is tough. I'm not a player. I don't play on the Avalanche. I'm just a reporter guy that shows up for, you know, I stand in the locker room for 10 to 15 to 20 minutes at a time during a practice, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes at a time post-game, 10 to 12 to 15 minutes after a morning skate, limited. Mostly home games, a couple road games, and then the playoffs. I don't play for the Avalanche, but that's why the players are so dejected, but it's really going to sink in for me, I believe, on Thursday when the Avalanche, I think they're going to practice Thursday because they play Tuesday. They'll probably have the day off Wednesday. They practice Thursday. They're back at home for a game on Friday. The first time I go into Family Sports and Mikko Rantanen's stall is being occupied by Jack Drury or Marty Natchez or whatever is going to be completely, like, mind-boggling to experience. He's been in that same spot for years. And then getting to Ball Arena and seeing Mikko's stall not there, that's going to be different. One of my favorite guys to follow. Truly, truly, truly. Or sorry, to cover. Truly, truly, truly. Just, he's exactly what you guys think he is. He's a golden retriever. Like, that's what Mikko is. And it was sad to see these last 3 days, every interview he's doing, he's got that serious mug and he's just saddened and heartbroken. And you know, if I'm Mikko Rantanen now, I'm, you know, maybe he resigns in Carolina, maybe he doesn't, but I'd go to July 1st. I'd go to free agency. At this point, what loyalty do you have? You don't have loyalty to anybody. You just got kicked to the curb. No disrespect to the Avs, because I get why they did it. You just got kicked to the curb by the only team you've ever known. What loyalty do you have? Go to free agency. Leon made 14. Call your agent and say, hey, you signed Leon's contract. You signed the longest, the highest cap hit. Up it up for me. Yes, you can get 8 years, but up it for me. Get him a 7-year, $14.5 million contract, for example. If Mitch Marner walks from Toronto, go to Toronto. Play with Austin Matthews. If I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'll let Marner and Tavares walk to sign Mitch Marner, to sign Mikko Rantanen. Just as an example. And then roll Nylander, Matthews, and Rantanen for the next 7-8 years. Assuming Austin stays. But yeah, if you want to stay with a contender, see who your options are. Do you want to go to Chicago and play with Connor Bedard? Maybe, maybe not. I'm indifferent about that. Playing with someone, a talent like that is special, but God, Chicago's so far off. I'd rather go to San Jose if I'm him. Ultimately, go to free agency. That's what I'm trying to get across. Now, let's move on to a little bit about the Colorado Avalanche. I did upload a trade board today. I'm going to do a different episode on that. We can go over those names. Fun fact. I uploaded a trade board on Tuesday of last week, and the plan was, I have to go back and make sure I get this right with the Avalanche's schedule. So I uploaded the trade board on Tuesday. The Avalanche played on Wednesday against the Winnipeg Jets. And then it was Thursday and Friday before their next game. So what I had planned to do, Tuesday I uploaded the trade board. Wednesday was the game at home against the Jets. I had planned on Friday to come home legitimately around 6 or 7 Mountain Time because I had gotten home. I had just been pulling up to my house when I saw the news of the Mikko Rantanen trade from Frank Saravalli. I remember planning Friday, 6 or 7 p.m. As soon as I get home, I'm going to do a podcast about that first trade board that I uploaded. And then I got home and Mikko Rantanen got traded. I wasn't planning on uploading that trade board until right before or right after Four Nations Faceoff. I've uploaded it today, Monday, January 27th. The reason being, it's already outdated. The Avalanche's priorities have shifted. They just freaking traded Mikko Rantanen. So that's up there. Now, assuming nothing crazy happens, expect the podcast on the trade board to be Tuesday or Wednesday. And it'll be version 2. I'll go over some of the names on version 1 as well, but it'll be in version 2.0 as the Avalanche navigate the next 36, 37, or whatever the hell days until the trade deadline. A little more than that, I think 39. Now with that, they lost a game in Boston that they should have won, and then they beat the Rangers in a game that kind of got away from them a little bit. But I wanted to touch on a couple things. Marty Natchez looked really good with Nathan MacKinnon. You can kind of see a little bit of it against Boston, but the fit wasn't all there. But the game against the Rangers was more of what you want to see. He could have scored 2 or 3 goals. He hit a whole bunch of posts. In his first 2 games, Marty Natchez has 2 minutes and 27 seconds of offensive zone production, second on the Avs. 18 zone entries, first on the Avs. 7 scoring chances, second on the Avs. 1.2 expected goals, first on the Avs. A lot of that came in the game against the Rangers, but he had a couple of spurts in the other game as well. But against the Rangers specifically, he had 2 assists, 9 shot attempts, 2 high danger scoring chances. He was a +1 net penalty. And then this one's my favorite. First on the Avs, 63.415 versus 5 Corsi percentage. That means when he was on the ice on 5-on-5, the Avalanche had 63.41 of the shot attempts. And this is for a team that got outshot like crazy. So shout out to that guy because those were some great numbers in his first 2 games, specifically the one against the Rangers when he had a chance to kind of recoup a little bit. The best part about the next game that the Avalanche play is he's going to get a chance to actually skate with the team in practice. And then after that game against the Islanders, he gets to come home, have a day off, and, well, come to his new home in Colorado, have a day off, practice on Thursday most likely, morning skate on Friday, and then a game on Friday. So he's only going to get better. Great win by the Avalanche. Love to see Cale Makar break out offensively. 2 big goals. Arturi Lehkonen scored a clutch goal. We've heard that. We've seen that. That's just typical Arturi Lehkonen. Which, by the way, Lehkonen, 20 goals on the season. Remember the guy that missed shitload of time at the beginning of the season? Only 8 assists. That's mind-boggling. 20 goals and 8 assists. Holy crap. 39 games, 20 goals. He has only hit 20 goals 1 other time in his career, if you could believe that. He should have hit it last year, 16 goals in 45 games, but obviously injury. In the 22-23 season, Arturi Lehkonen had 21 goals and 30 assists, 51 points in 64 games before he broke his hand blocking a shot in his return to Montreal after scoring a goal. 21 goals in 64 games. He's already got 20 in 39. He's scoring at a more than 41 goal per season pace over 82 games. Plus 19, playing 2108 per game. Most of his career by far. My favorite stat, 4 game-winning goals. He's also shooting 24%. Like, holy crap. It's a little bit of a PDO bender, but it's okay. So shout out to Lehkonen. My favorite numbers of all of this, 2 seasons ago with the Avalanche in those 64 games, 21 goals, 8 of them were on the power play. Last season, 16 goals, 7 of them were on the power play. This season, 20 goals, 1 on the power play. He's doing this at 5-on-5, and he's got a shorthanded goal in there as well. So kudos to Arturi Lehkonen. Big goal. Love to see Cale Makar break out offensively in a little bit there. Love to see the Avalanche close out that game. They needed that win in the worst kind of way. So I'm really curious to see how it goes from here. I'll get into the trade board on the next episode because that one is going to break down a whole lot of stuff. And I'll get into that episode a little bit more about what I talked about late Friday night, early Saturday morning, because that podcast finished at like 12:30 in the freaking morning. About how the Avalanche are not done and more trades are coming, and it's just a matter of when, not if, and it's a matter of how big of a move do they want to make and how many of them. Nothing will surprise me anymore after the trade of Mikko Rantanen. Follow me on Twitter at RunRightArif. Check out ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Subscribe to the email list to get an email every time I publish an article. Join the comments section. It's a wonderful community on that website. We have tons and tons of comments and discussions on every single post from myself or Colleen Flynn. You want to check out the Plus content, subscribe to CHN Plus. Use code DEEN10, D-E-E-N, my last name, 10, for 25% off or $10 off, whichever way you want to look at it. An annual subscription for Colorado Hockey Now Plus content. I have a big article in there called Dean's View, and it's about the gamble that the Avalanche took in Mikko Rantanen and trading Mikko Rantanen. That's a great piece you want to check out. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.